Imagine stepping onto the ice, facing the one person who represents everything you despise, only to discover they're now your teammate. This is the reality for hockey stars Oakley Reed and Quinton DeHaas, whose bitter rivalry began years ago during a high school championship game. When Quinton's cutting comment about Oakley riding his famous father's coattails led to a bloody confrontation, their mutual hatred was cemented. 4 years later, fate throws them together at Layton University, where their animosity threatens to derail not just their own careers, but their entire team's championship dreams. Their loathing manifests in self-sabotaging behaviors on the ice, Quinton ignoring Oakley's superior positioning, Oakley abandoning defensive assignments, resulting in the team's worst season start in a decade. Every interaction crackles with tension, revealing deeper insecurities. Oakley's desperate need to prove himself beyond his family name, and Quinton's fear that his aggressive reputation overshadows his leadership abilities. But what happens when the line between hatred and attraction begins to blur? Everything changes when Quinton fails a mandatory drug test for hydrocodone he insists he never took. The suspension devastates him, but watching coach name Oakley as interim captain feels like the ultimate betrayal. Meanwhile, Oakley discovers an uncomfortable truth. His roommate Braxton likely tampered with Quinton's sample to secure the captaincy for him. Though Braxton never explicitly confesses, his comments about having my back make the situation clear. Oakley faces a moral dilemma: report his friend's actions and potentially lose his captaincy, or remain silent and benefit from the injustice. He chooses silence, justifying it because Quinton is merely his rival, while Braxton is his friend, a decision that will haunt their relationship later. This reversal creates the first major shift in their dynamic. Quinton becomes an outcast, while Oakley, seeing his rival's vulnerability for the first time, begins to view him differently. Haven't we all experienced that moment when someone we thought we knew reveals an unexpected side, forcing us to reconsider everything? After a heated argument at a frat party, Quinton drags Oakley into a bathroom for an explosive, intimate encounter. Afterward, Oakley insists this never happened, but their mutual attraction becomes impossible to ignore, especially when the team wins following their hookup. Quinton, deeply superstitious, becomes convinced their encounter was key to his performance. He proposes they continue for the team's sake. Initially resistant, Oakley agrees with strict rules: complete secrecy, pre-game hookups only, and no emotional attachment. This arrangement forces them to confront their preconceptions. Quinton reveals vulnerability about his uncertain sexuality, while Oakley finds himself unexpectedly drawn to someone he thought he hated. As they continue their secret arrangement, the team achieves 6 consecutive wins, turning their season around. Their success on the ice mirrors their growing intimacy off it, both situations requiring trust, communication, and vulnerability neither expected to share. As their physical relationship deepens, their emotional connection grows through post-hookup conversations. Oakley explains that being captain represents earning his own legacy beyond his family name, helping Quinton understand why his high school taunt wounded him so deeply. In a vulnerable moment, Quinton apologizes for his past comments. When Oakley discovers Quinton sleeps with his first goal puck under his pillow, he glimpses the passionate player beneath the arrogant exterior. Quinton confesses to feeling like the team's black sheep, despite his talent, and shares how his father pushes him toward the family business instead of hockey. These exchanges transform their relationship from purely physical to meaningful. They study together, spend time outside their arrangement, and genuinely enjoy each other's company. The boundaries between enemies, teammates, and something more significant begin to blur. Their relationship reaches a turning point during winter break when Quinton takes Oakley ice skating. As they glide together, both recognize how dramatically things have changed. Oakley impulsively kisses Quentin publicly, and when they part, Quentin pulls him back for another kiss. Soft, gentle, entirely different from their usual encounters. Just as their relationship deepens, their past returns to haunt them. At Oakley's place, Quentin discovers a Vicodin prescription bottle, the same opioid from his drug test. The confrontation reveals that Braxton stole Oakley's pills and swapped sample cups to frame Quentin. More devastating is Oakley's admission that he suspected something but remained silent because Braxton was his friend while Quentin was just his rival. This betrayal cuts deeper than their original animosity. Quentin leaves, abandoning even his treasured lucky puck. The fallout is catastrophic. When Oakley tries to apologize, Quentin delivers the crushing truth. You might not have held the gun, but you still helped pull the trigger. He wanted someone who understood his love for hockey and would stand by him. Someone who wouldn't fucking betray me. Oakley confesses he's fallen in love with Quentin, ironically after Quentin had warned him not to develop feelings. Despite his pleas for forgiveness, Quentin remains silent, and Oakley walks away heartbroken. Despite their personal turmoil, the team secures their spot in the Frozen Four Championship with an impressive winning streak. After their semifinal victory, Quentin meets Lewis Spalding, a top NHL agent interested in representing him. The encounter reveals a surprising truth. Oakley had arranged this connection months ago, deliberately stepping away from his family's long-standing relationship with Spalding Sports Management. The Reed name had been tied to the agency for generations, but Oakley willingly severed this prestigious connection to create an opportunity for Quentin, knowing his talent deserved the best representation. This selfless act reveals the depth of Oakley's commitment. Even during their coldest moments, he was quietly working to advance Quentin's career, a profound sacrifice of family tradition demonstrating love that prioritizes the other's success. In the championship game, locked at 2-2, their teammate scores the winning goal with seconds remaining. In the euphoric chaos that follows, Quentin finally breaks through his emotional walls, skating directly to Oakley to declare, "I love you too," before kissing him passionately on center ice, a declaration witnessed by thousands. 4 months after their victory, Quentin teaches Oakley to ride his motorcycle, a symbol of the freedom they both fought to achieve. As Oakley feels the mechanical heartbeat beneath him, with Quentin's steady presence behind, he experiences the exhilarating liberation that fuels Quentin's passion for riding. Their moment culminates with life-changing news. Oakley has been traded to Quentin's team. Quentin reveals this with a meaningful gift, custom team socks with Oakley's name and number, honoring his superstitious ritual while celebrating their shared future. Their relationship has evolved remarkably, from bitter rivalry through reluctant cooperation and secret attraction into deep love. The motorcycle ride becomes a metaphor for their parallel journeys. Oakley breaking free from his family's hockey dynasty, Quentin escaping his father's controlling influence to embrace both riding and his true self. When Quentin playfully suggests Oakley should propose, since he did all the chasing at first, it highlights their beautiful equilibrium. Their story shows how love transforms rivals into allies, secrets into strengths, and individual struggles into shared victories.